Hi, this is Dana Gould, and you're listening to New Dissident Radio, where we've finally gotten the video out of audio video.
Go down to 1841 and wake up Bingo, party in her room.
Somebody get Bingo.
Very interesting you should ask that, because the reason I'm letting it grow right now is
Provenza.
Because I'm 55, I got all my own hair, and I've never actually let it do whatever the fuck it wants.
You let
it,
oh my God, at Provenza. 55 you can do
Provenza,
the
Lynn, yeah. Provenza.
If you had your
Lynn.
Tans on, you'd know we're going live.
Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and as the lead singer of Pendulette's No God Band, which headlined just last week or the week before, it doesn't matter, at TAM 2012 in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, where we're coming live right now.
Yeah.
Live.
In 2 weeks.
Which is a recording. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the unstoppable cyborg that is Joe Swam, go to our website. We're now on our website with the wall.
That's exactly right. And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, write a fucking review, cunt.
Easy.
Or go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium
content
for a measly $10 a year.
Go subscribe.
Please.
Do it.
Be nice.
Whatever.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one.
Guests may plug anything they want because we sure as hell are. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or
content.
And certainly has nothing for you, you fistless prude. We are recording live at TAM 2012 from the American Atheist Suite. In the studio we have Eric Schwartz, Gary Stockdale, Paul Provenza, Lynn Shawcroft, and Doug Stanhope is sitting at the table. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for our guests. We have a room full of TAM goers.
I just don't know what to say because I don't have a laptop.
You can think of shit. So, I've been wanting to get Doug Stanhope on the show forever. I've been wanting to get Paul Provenza for the 17th time on the show. And I love that Gary Stockdale is here. Eric has been on the show before.
He hasn't actually wanted to get us on the show, but he has to say something.
I wanted to get you on the show without your ex-girlfriend.
It's not like he's complaining.
But, oh, shit.
So, we have no topic. What happened is we're hanging out after the big party with Pendulette singing with Heather and all those folks downstairs. We're all hanging out, and we're going to do a goddamn podcast. I understand Doug Stanhope did stand up and ate it really bad. Is that what happened?
Yeah, you know. Actually, he ate it real good.
Ah. How'd the skeptics receive your show, Paul?
Oh, we did the Satiresis live show, and Doug was gracious enough to come out and do this, even though he hates the whole Satiresis idea.
not a Satiresis fan.
I don't know.
Stand your ground, pussy.
I don't remember my ground. I probably said it. I don't like listening to comics talk about comedy. It fucking ruins comedy.
Does it?
Deconstructing. Well, what does this mean to you? How would he... It's fucking comedy. You make jokes and you have fun.
So what's behind your art?
Oh, simplicity is not your friend.
That's Lynn Shawcroft.
Lynn Shawcroft in the his house.
Tell us about your suit.
Yeah, it's a nice suit, man.
Yeah, it was a gift. Well, the jacket was a gift. The rest was,
you know.
Yeah, no, I hate the whole deconstruction of comedy because A, I can't do it, and that's the most common question you get from fucking journalists. Well, what do you think this means? What is he trying to say? I don't fucking know. I had to do something for Louis C.K.'s premiere of his new show for Esquire Online, and they did exactly what I thought they'd do.
I thought that made you seem fancy when you're on Esquire.
I didn't read the fuck. I don't read because I know they're going to make it sound like bullshit. Whatever I said, I don't understand what you see. Well, when he had his, he got the motorcycle. What do you think he's trying to say? I don't know what he's trying to say. I wonder if it's funny or not. And then I look at the show. Could I act that good? Probably not. Like, I don't.
You were amazing on that, by the way. That was really great performance.
No, I'm talking about the new season. But that aside, yes, I was fucking great on that. I was so good.
You were, but you were also playing...
Except they made my face look all weird.
Did you audition, Doug? Well, how'd that come about?
The liquor made your face look weird.
but you were. Yeah, but how'd you get the part on there? Since, how did you get on Louis?
Because the part was for a suicidal loser, so
no.
It wasn't.
Yeah,
really a stretch. No,
he's not. He's
you
not.
Know, you know exactly.
He has
what,
been practicing hey, no, his no, entire hey, life no, for
I'm
that fucking
being
role.
Serious here. You know exactly what that guy is.
If
about.
I could not draw a crowd, I would be that guy, and someone would be doing an intervention.
You seem taller exactly. than you.
But you draw so a you crowd, then they go, "Hey, can I open for you?"
That's a cry for future like, help, is what that is.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
He is. He draw. He drew right a now. Crowd. You're drawing crowds everywhere.
Yeah. Well. So. But it's nice of you to humor me and do Satirista shit.
Aww. Right.
Even though. But yeah. Here's the thing, though. I totally get where you're coming from. I'm just on the other side.
You're
of the world.
That guy. You want to break down comedy and what it means to
Rick
society.
Overton,
and fuck
I
that.
I spent. You know, Adam Bloom. Over in the UK,
probably
Bloom, we spent like 3 days in Amsterdam dissecting just one like Stephen Wright joke or something. Just
I
loved
that.
It.
I
love it.
That
it's like
too.
It's like
yeah.
it's like Jay Leno with his mechanics, you know, with his cars. Yeah.
Some people
it.
Enjoy it. I don't think it ruins it for everybody. You know, some people go and see magic and they try to figure out how it's done. Other people go and see magic and they don't think about it. They just like to be fooled. And so there are different people in the world.
Yeah,
though.
But you haven't
some
heard Doug's
enjoy-
opinion about magic.
Well,
oh.
Let's deconstruct oh, magic.
I'm such a surface person, including every bit I did here at the fucking Skeptics convention. No. I have surface knowledge of everything I talk about, and there's nothing underneath.
You have
there
to understand
is
that.
Absolutely nothing
well,
underneath
what I say.
Well,
then you're the biggest scammer of all time, so then we should deconstruct
exactly.
scamming.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
scamming.
Why not deconstruct why a human like you would be such a fucking
Shawcroft is on the same page as me. Scamming is the most underrated art form. Con artistry is something that I appreciate. Con artists who are good at it.
I do believe the entire financial infrastructure of the world is all about exactly what you're saying.
But no,
there's
the artist,
an art to
the
it.
Artist.
Yeah.
Like, I could never be that guy because I'd talk. Do you see how I fucked that guy over? It was so easy. But the people who can do it and they're so skillful, I think that's the most beautiful art form is just outright con artistry.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
I agree, yeah.
It's awful. It takes advantage of people.
So who was the band
well,
tonight?
No, no, that's
you about,
where you're wrong.
Let me tell you a little
con
bit about
con artistry takes advantage
Herbalife.
Of people who are trying to cheat the system.
I see.
Beautiful.
So when
con
somebody
artistry.
Will break the rules because they've been conned into breaking the rules, you think that they kind of
yeah,
deserve
hey,
it.
Hey, some lady lost her purse, and here's the thing. I'll split it with you, but you could do dip it, and then, yeah.
So you infinitely have to know the rules. Like, people say the smartest person is the person who plays chess. What about the person that invented chess? What about people who invented the things that get to be constructed? I'll call you later. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
That
but
was
you know a, what I mean.
That was
she
one
was
of the best
hip deep in some heavy
heard.
Shit and then pissed herself.
Wow, that was
it was
nice. A beautiful conversation last night. Where she's like, the guy who invented chess, could he beat anyone at chess? And it was funny. And now she's trying to do yes. what we do as comics, recreate the moment.
Why would you deconstruct her joke? What's the matter with you?
I loved what she did.
I thought it just fell flat.
It's not like she wasn't aware.
Yeah. Daniel
so the
talked.
The band played bear. Tonight was
Daniel,
amazing.
Right? The band was awesome. Heather Henderson.
No, this band.
Oh, the band
here.
On their show?
Satirises.
Who played in your band? It was Gary Stockdale.
Right.
And I believe Eric Schwartz was
Eric
playing
Schwartz.
Music.
Eric Schwartz.
I don't know if that qualifies as a band, but God damn it, there are bands.
Provenza can't afford a big band.
The two fags that played tonight were great.
Two fags,
awesome.
Three cocks.
What did you guys do?
That's right.
Gary, what did you
play? Had a kazoo that just failed miserably, which is his own kind of erectile dysfunction when he thinks about it.
I made what I called a dildo phone, which was a new skin. It wasn't I found out silicone.
Like
dildo.
You didn't know about dildos beforehand.
But I wouldn't use the expensive ones.
Well, tell us
it's
what you would use.
It's not a high-dollar production.
You had to be able to blow through them, not on them.
That was my problem. I kept sucking the thing, and
I
was
wasn't
blowing.
There. I don't know what the hell you're talking
well,
about.
You're an artist. You got PSA. Dildos.
You know what?
There.
I was there.
Yeah, but
I'm
you're
not
blowing
sure.
through a dildo, a kazoo.
Yes, we blew. I made a.
I wasn't.
Made a kazoo, I made an instrument out of
a
dildo
cock-a-zoo?
And a kazoo.
Out of two instruments.
Cock-a-zoo.
There you go. Cock-a-zoo.
Cock-a-zoo.
Kakazoo. A cockazella. Right.
Hey, Eric, why don't you sing us a song?
All right, man. Now, does it have to be funny or can it be more of like a soul ballad?
Anything that'll piss off Stanhope. That's what I want to hear.
All right.
Yes.
This one's called... I think he actually liked raping that halfback. Woo-hoo! Here we go. Well, I don't know why we're here. I don't know if that will ever be clear, but I don't care. No, I don't. Well, I don't know if love is real, or if that's something that I'll ever feel, yeah, but I don't care. Yeah, yeah. Because time is short, but the nights are long. I'm a gentleman, but I try to be strong. I'm gonna stand right up, gonna say it aloud to all the ladies in the room so there'll be no doubt. Who is gonna fuck the singer? All right, I'm asking you who. Gonna fuck the singer. Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Apparently Kelly Carlin is.
Well, as far as I recall, Kelly Carlin is fucking Bob McCall.
It's true.
And I bet when you guys film yourselves having sex, you have excellent camera work, don't you?
We do.
Bet you do. Hey, look, when I'm singing a song like this, trying to get laid here at the conference, we all use what we got, and really, I only have a few minutes to do my thing. I'm not an intellect like some of the people. By the way, I have to say, if you look at some of the people that are walking around here, okay, specifically, if you look at some of the men that are walking around here with hot-ass fucking girlfriends, and they just don't look like they belong on the same sidewalk.
Yeah.
Clearly, the women around here, and not in, because now, clearly, this is not a personal thing. I'm commenting about here. Present company excluded. The bottom line is that clearly the women here are attracted to something other than looks, because or the ability to dress well. That's a nice t-shirt, buddy.
This is an audio podcast, man.
Oh, he's got drawstring shorts. He likes to whip out his Schwartz. That's right. Do you like action? Do you intend to be having sex over the next few hours? I'm curious. Hey, I'm not specific. You all gonna do it. Look, do me a favor. That means I'm doing my job as an entertainer. Everybody sing with me. Who is gonna fuck the singer? Yeah. Give me some harmonies, everybody. I know you think I'm shallow for propositioning every woman in the room at the same time. I'm just efficient. And the bottom line is all I really mean. The bottom line is, if you, I know some of you right now are finding yourself sexually attracted to me. I can tell. And all it means is that I'm doing my job as an entertainer, which is, you know, to make everyone in the audience want to get with me. Even if I wouldn't get with you, given the opportunity, but I'm not as selective as you think, so don't rule it out. The bottom line is, who's gonna fuck the singer is what every single soul song is about. Everybody who...
singer.
Gonna fuck him right after the song in the other room under the bed.
Ooh, gonna fuck the singer.
That's right. Now, I want you to understand, people, how selfless I am being. Because I'm having you all sing along with me. because now you're all singers.
Woo! Yeah!
So y'all have just manifested some sex in your life. You just asked for it. Come on, it's like that fucking the secret bullshit. You know, you cast it out to the universe and it's gonna come back to you. I mean, it might not be tonight, it might not be this year, but I'm still gonna take credit for it because that's how spirituality works. There is no time limit. Who's gonna fuck the
singing? I feel it. Somebody's gonna fuck me for singing.
I can't be there for all of you. So, when you do have sex because you've manifested, just shoot me an email and let me know. Because I figure if I get 20% of my audience late on a given evening, I will never go hungry as an entertainer. So I like to have two lists at my gigs. I've got the mailing list and the nailing list so that I can... I mean what I say and I say what I want, I won't. Roll no dice for no debutante. So if you're not averse to my Machiavelli tactics, reach down in your purse and raise your prophylactic. Just Heather, sing it for me. I want to hear Just Heather Henderson.
Who's gonna fuck the singer?
Who's gonna fuck the singer? I could be talking about me or Heather Henderson.
It's gonna fuck Eric Schwartz.
Yeah.
He's a singer.
You know, when you sing like that, I just have a feeling that your chances of getting laid are about 50-1 against me. I mean, you are so getting laid if you wanna. What does TAM stand for exactly? The asexual man. That's actually sadly accurate. Thank you so much for having me. I don't know who's gonna fuck the singer, but we're gonna find out shortly after this song.
So.
People who use solar things, aren't they a little bit greedy of the sun?
Greedy of the sun? Yeah, I guess
Republican.
The sun is a finite resource.
Well, I could tell. I could tell.
Tell us how the show went.
Your show. The show went great. Kira Sultanovich was perfect. Yeah. What we did was basically glance off the whole Rebecca Watson palaver. We just kind of
so this is an inside podcast as well as the Stockdale Schwartz combination was an inside song.
But how many atheists and skeptics do you think there are, Doug?
I don't know what podcast
they're all in
I'm
this
doing.
Room. They're the other the people listening to this podcast are in that.
The only reason I'm a guest on this show is I'm the only guy in this world that doesn't have a podcast. And you want to see what I'm like.
You can
it's
have
like
ours.
Brave New World. I'm that fucking freak that. You pulled out of the Neanderthal land. What happened?
Why are they clearing the room?
My friend just came through and made me laugh because he's just stopped his New Year's resolution. He just stopped his New Year's resolution.
Which was? Do we know what it was?
Not smoking pot anymore.
Oh, I see.
That's the craziest thing ever.
I know.
Like falling off
in
the
this
wagon.
World.
No, but you came in and you did. You know, it's like if somebody does a comedy bit in Paris and they. Know all the local references, like, you know, down on Rue, whatever it is. You did, like, it's like you had been a part of the organization forever.
My fan base is a bunch of fucking black t-shirt guys who sit around with no chicks, and they're disgruntled about everything in their lives. They haven't called, we're skeptics. They didn't find no, they're just, call themselves losers until they find a group.
what was it? Not quite your opening, but almost.
I don't
when
say
you come
that
out and go,
in any derogatory fashion whatsoever.
When
we're
you
all
said,
fucking losers.
You just put it perfectly. Congratulations on your graduation from Comic-Con. I mean, you
and I bet there were a few tables of you that actually sat around going, yeah, Comic-Cons, we used to go to that. What a bunch of as you're loudly at the Del Mar bar playing some dumb shit game last night that grew into like eight tables squished into one that took up the whole bar, and everyone's cheering and yelling. They're playing some dumb game, a board game.
With dice?
In Vegas. You're almost as bad as the other convention that's here that has a bunch of douchebag children in fucking motocross uniforms. It's not a fucking nursery, you faggots. Like, how bad would it be to be on this casino floor and be a pedophile and a gambling addict at the same time? And then you're flipping coins, and you go, the fact that I'm flipping a coin makes me a gambling addict, but I still want to fuck that kid.
Jesus.
I think that would be very bad.
What a quandary. That's the new style of fucking Yakov Smirnoff. What a quandary. Start that now. What a quandary.
Oh, fuck.
Have you ever heard the word quandary used in a sentence other than a question? Like, what a quandary? What about, like, Tracy's a quandary? I've never said that.
It doesn't work that way, does it?
It doesn't work without a question mark. Yeah. And that's why Lynn Shawcroft comes in handy.
I kind of like the idea of that being an adjective.
Yeah.
Like you're,
oh, my God.
I can't
Evelyn, she bakes good. Bit of a quandary. She's a mom. Like, you never use her.
I quandried the shit out of that bitch.
Yeah. Oh, she. Yeah. Don't make it aggressive.
Yeah, why do you have to always
make it? Because I'm a rapist.
You're the rapist.
That's what I'm told, because I disagree with the cunts that are
fucking things up. Rape's not funny.
Oh, right. I heard rape's not funny.
It's definitely not.
Then why do I laugh every time I do it?
What if you rape a clown? If raping a clown is funny.
Yeah. Rape is hilarious.
Kind of if Daniel Tosh got raped at some point, there would be some. There would be. It would
he's
be
being
too.
Raped.
Be
at
but you know what?
You think he's not being raped right now by his entire career choice?
Daniel Tosh, he would know that was funny.
He would. Yeah, yes, he would. And he would have to go, okay, yeah.
Oh, you got
me. That was good. That was exactly the right thing to do at this time.
I think at the end of the day, rape victims don't have a very good sense of humor, generally. That's really where the problem lies.
I always thought I'd be the best person to ever be raped. Like, I feel like I have a rape kit.
It's funny,
it's
you know, Lynn, I've thought
ketchup.
That, too.
What is a rape kit? Learn how to rape.
My rape kit is like, if someone tried to rape me, I'd have a little mini Heinz ketchup. I'd be like, look how cute this is. And they would be like, oh, it's so cute. No raping would go on. And I'd look them in the eyes, and I'd be like, you're a good person. And I'd let them go on their way, because... It's just knowing someone, but
I think what you're
raping's okay.
What you're saying is kind of like why Rita Rudner never gets raped.
Yeah, like you'd show them like a miniature thing, and we'd all love because everything's small when it's cute, and you'd like introduce them to that, and they'd go.
I want to rape you right now.
Fair enough.
I'd rape Rita.
All right, relax, Mad Max.
And speaking of Mad Max, what's a fucking Thunderdome? Go on, continue.
Call you later. God, the whole rape thing is fucking bullshit. It's the nigger thing all over again. Why do we have six or seven words?
Rape is the old nigger.
Thanks, Carlin.
No, rape is an
actual
thing.
Rape
is an abstract.
Ah, the new nigger. Yes, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, rape is an actual thing.
Yeah.
So your theory is flawed.
It's not a word.
Yeah. A nigger is a thing.
Well, first of all, rape.
First of all,
rape is not a single thing. There, I half the girls I've ever dated have rape
fantasies.
But
there's no such thing as
a nigger. My fucking aunt wanted to
rape. A nigger is an. There's no such thing as a nigger.
You go, oh. He's saying one it actually is a thing, a verb.
Yeah, a nigger got in my car. You're like, oh, you mean like a black person? No, he's like this white kid with baggy pants. So
that's a wigger, honey.
Rape is a... yeah, but
I know
the
you
point
mean, like,
is...
Rape is an wait, actual... You know what rape
is
an
event.
No other word.
Rape is an event like Super Bowl. where you
so
have
we
money
should
on.
Commercials.
Always the funniest commercials.
Proving for the record, proving rape, it was just
this
hilarious.
Whole thing should be premium content because
yeah, no shit.
But all right, prison rape, completely okay to joke about to Jay Leno levels, Johnny Carson level. I'd hate to see what they do to that guy in prison.
Oh yeah,
right.
And
right.
Okay, take into account that we have 1/3 of our prisoners in this country, the most prisoners in the world. That are nonviolent drug offenders, and take it, like, the lowest statistics are 1 in 100 get raped.
Right.
Up to 1 in 10
Yeah, it's closer to
raped.
1 in 10.
So, okay, it's funny if your daughter gets raped if she's ever smoked pot. Then it's funny.
Yeah.
So, okay, girl that was making fun of Dan Tosh, yeah, if you've ever held pot in your purse for a minute.
Or had 11 parking tickets.
According to Jay Leno.
That you didn't pay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of bullshit.
That's the most brilliant definition.
But not funny. That's why I can't bring it into the act.
Fuck funny. Right. I'm laughing inside.
I'm laughing in my vagina.
Another word for rape.
She was raped.
Could
by
we
what
laugh
you
there
said.
Too?
Absolutely.
You'll hear an echo.
Call me later.
I think rape's hilarious.
That was raping words.
My uncle.
I do agree with you.
It's all intent. It's all in the intention of what you're saying. Are you saying this to be...
It's all context.
Yeah. You know what? I think all African Americans should be put in a boat and sunk in the ocean on their way back to where... Oh, well, he said African American, so that means he's... fuck you.
Yeah.
Like
And they can't even afford boats, usually.
Yeah, no. Yeah. The Amistad's on eBay. I would have never thought of that sober. Much less quickly.
Fuck. Fuck
God
me.
Damn.
Forcibly.
Schwartz, you're a Jew. Go.
So.
Yeah, but I'm like,
I thought you were a Mexican on stage. I swear to God, I didn't recognize him off stage. I go, you were dark skinned on stage.
Yeah, he did say that, but the problem is he's from Arizona, which means anytime they make remarks about Mexicans, I start to get nervous.
Yeah, I just live there. I live by the border because that's the emergency exit when this country goes south.
You really think it's headed shitty? You think it's
I'm going to get
go
the
shitty?
First job in Mexico.
Well, you are pretty safe in Arizona, existed. Though, Doug.
Well, I'm safe.
Safe from what?
From Mexicans.
From being thought of as an immigrant. I mean, you look like a white guy. I look like a white guy.
Yeah.
I'm the whitest person.
You don't
in the
look like
room.
A white guy. You are a white guy.
Yeah.
Like,
Doug
you're not
is
passing
a white
for
guy.
A white. You are.
He's black inside.
You mean stretched out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's one hell of a tattoo.
We're all black inside, right? Once in a while.
We're black down to the we're black down to the DNA, baby.
Yeah, that's true. We're all African.
This isn't going anywhere good. I'm just saying right now.
Who here at this table? Who here at this table likes cilantro?
Wait a minute. Cilantro?
Yeah, it's like a genetic thing. I don't like cilantro, and I feel like people are mean to me about it. I just wrote a book called
How Do You Pronounce
cilantro
Coriander? I need
like
to know that.
You.
Cilantro like you.
Cilantro. No, cilantro like me. Sorry. Continue.
That's all right.
Wasn't that a movie?
Was
that Lynn Shawcraft calling back?
That was a porno.
Yes. Yeah, Shawcraft called back. She promised she would.
That was Emery stepping on her fucking
I did.
Her punchline. It's a perfect timing.
Yeah.
Comics.
But he likes to deconstruct when someone fucks up a joke.
No, you fucked up her fucking up a joke. It's perfect.
Do you think it tastes like soap, the cilantro?
Yes, I'm one of those.
You really do. That's
a genetic
thing.
Really?
It's a genetic predisposition
to
think that cilantro
tastes like soap.
No, I'm aware.
Curling your tongue or litmus, it's one of those things. It tastes like soap
or
it makes your life better.
Your piss smelling weird after asparagus. Same kind of.
Is that a genetic thing?
No, that's everybody.
No.
Really?
There are people. You're somewhat of a Negro. Do you think that aloe tastes like underarm deodorant?
Right, Heather? Somewhat
no.
of a Negro.
I don't know.
She doesn't know what aloe is. What,
yeah.
We usually refer to it as a jigajew.
I think Hegro is the new term.
Hegro.
Hebrew.
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 Las Vegas.
Hebrew.
Hegro. Las Vegas.
Gary.
Yes, what?
I understand you do music as well.
I don't know if I do music as well.
I lob that one to you.
But I am going. There's no way I could do something as soulful and funny as that. So I'm gonna go more for the serious and contemplative.
Yes.
Yes.
just lost your job. The ink on your pink slip's barely dried. And your husband just came out as the woman he'd kept hidden deep inside. And you got a diagnosis, chronic halitosis, which explains why all your friends have shied away from you. Now your options, they are few. You need something to help you make it through. You need a sensitive songwriter who will sing you of his pain. Yes, his melancholic musings work even better than cocaine. And I am that sensitive songwriter. I've got issues, don't you see? And no one feels as deeply as my feelings feel to me. Though I wallow in self-pity, often in the key of D. If you came here feeling shitty, you'll feel a deep catharsis by the time I'm on song three. I know your life is often hard, and folk can be so awfully cruel, but a sensitive songwriter can make you feel like you are somewhat cool. My themes are universal, and irony's my game, and I rarely need rehearsal, 'cause every song sounds just the same. My voice is warm and soulful, and my riffs are high and sweet. My eyes are sad and doleful, like a basset hound in heat. And in this descending sequence, I employ a minor key, and then resolve it with a subtle hint of comforting, self-righteous, condescending empathy. I know your life is often hard, and folks can be so awfully cruel, but a sensitive songwriter can somehow make you feel pretty cool. There are tragedies I've lived through, countless ways I've been abused. They bent me over, pushed it in, and left me feeling used. So listen to my story, it's as sad as it is true, and it provides an allegory for what you've been feeling too. Yes, I'm a sensitive songwriter with big leaps of melody. And in case you hadn't noticed, because people were walking in and out of the room, I just changed up the key. And I know you'll feel a whole lot better if you'll just buy my CD.
Sure of myself. Sure of myself.
'Cause the life has roughed you up, jacked you round like you're a tool. A sensitive songwriter can make you feel like you aren't quite as big a fool. Yes, a sensitive songwriter can make you feel almost cool.
Paul Provenza's crying right now.
Paul, you okay, buddy?
You all right, Paul?
Oh, that was beautiful. And therein lies the difference between a married songwriter and a songwriter who masturbates too much.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to have sex with Sean now.
Let me watch.
There will be gay sex right now.
Can I help?
I'll throw a
pot
on the table. Do I need to take my pants off though?
Yes. Hey, yes.
If you were a boy band, the cute one would be gay.
Gary, come back over here, Provenza. Really Provenza, come over here.
If I'm late, I really think that the one before. If it, sorry, no.
No. Provenza, I gotta get that. Say that again, just right there.
I hold said, on, please. Gary, if you were a boy band, the cute one would be gay.
Thank you.
How do you know he isn't?
All right.
Like I said, this podcast is going nowhere.
This podcast, the podcast that we're doing tonight frees me up from doing this podcast tomorrow so I can go bowling. Thank you.
It's like an alibi of something that you wanted to do.
Yeah. Let's be honest about it. Let's tell some deep, dark secrets that people will stay awake to listen to this podcast. By the way, it is 2:30 in the morning.
Fuck
so if you're listening
off.
To
that's
this
to go to the Chinese
sober
dinner.
At fucking
how
8:30
many people
at the
have
gym,
put a
you're
pencil
a fucking
up
idiot.
Their phone.
I hate you and I hope you die.
So, have you done set list yet?
No, I'm not good
you're
at that.
You're not going to do it?
No, I'm you fucking would. I
God
suck at that
it.
Shit. I know my limitations. I'm not good at fucking off the cuff on you know.
Why do you have to be good at it? Couldn't you just show everybody your limitations and make them feel better about themselves?
Yeah, why you got to be so vain? Why don't you just go up there and suck it?
If I'm going to suck
why don't
a
you
fucking
give, why don't you give every other comic in the world a shot at hope?
I did that on one of my DVDs. I put early footage as bonus stuff on Deadbeat Hero. Like me with a mullet, like 6 months in, my most embarrassing footage, and I couldn't watch it. I just let my manager, like, you fucking, here's my most embarrassing shit. You decide what to put on. And so I did that. And if I'm going to suck that bad again, it's not going to be on your show. It's going to be on my show, asshole.
How do you know you wouldn't be good at it? Like, what if something came out of you, like a new realization of yourself?
What if something came out of me like pee? Yeah, I don't want to do
Let's
that.
Let's think about that.
All right. Well,
is that a rhetorical question?
No, it's actually, he's got a problem.
Yep.
Well, the jacket's the right color.
Yeah.
You know,
Paul Provenza is the Svengali of getting you to make an asshole of yourself in his later years. Where he just, I'm just the ringmaster. Hey, look at me with the top hat. Hey, who wants to do the set list? It's my show. Remember me?
He's like Jim Rose.
Remember me?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you make an asshole of yourself, and I'll publish it.
It's a sideshow.
Hang these bricks off your nipples.
When are we going to roast Provenza? That's what needs to happen.
Yeah. We're doing it right now.
Yeah. It's when aren't you roasting Provenza?
Right.
He's tasty with a little salami.
He's self-roasting.
Self-roasting. We can microwave Provenza.
Are there any beers here?
Someone bring Lynch Shawcross
here. Need more booze.
Eric
Thank
Schwartz
you,
as well.
BJ. Yeah, Eric Schwartz needs a beer, too.
We're in danger of being cogent.
Did you know that Lynn Shawcross?
Danger of being cogent. Sorry.
That's a great album title right there.
Roger Stockdale that. Just danger. Threw that out, and it wasn't amplified.
What?
She's in danger of being cogent.
Exactly.
That was very funny. And it needed repeated.
Thank you.
Yeah. His mic is fucking up. Your mic is fucking up.
No, his face is away from it.
No, it's cutting out. It's actually fucking up.
Oh, I don't like that.
Well, aww,
come closer to me.
It's shorting out.
So is my Bluetooth in my car.
God damn it.
Come over here and hang out with
go
me.
Go sit down next to Heather. Right
why
now.
Was the show 97% dude and this party is like 80% chicks?
It's 80% chicks? Are you kidding me?
Because that's why we do comedy.
That's exactly right.
Chicks dig comedians.
So, Provenza, why do you love I understand myself why you love it, but, like, what makes you love it?
Hang on.
I'm the worst
interviewer.
So cute.
Shawcross hates this, but it's fucking too many years. Shawcross is the very funny, one of the, few funny chicks that I know. Because you're not predisposed to be strong in your upper body or funny. It's just how nature made you.
Right.
And she's one of the most naturally funny people that I know. And she is the wife of the late, great Mitch Hedberg, which he hates having that as a fucking moniker.
Why'd you bring it up then?
Because it'll make her fucking start saying something without being smarmy.
What's wrong with smarmy?
No, it's good that, well, give me a fucking cigarette. Shawcroft is one of the only people I can talk to comedy about that understands it the way I understand it. Because we've been fuck-ups our whole lives, you know, on an American level. Like, we still drink. We still occasionally do drugs. And the way that our fan base that she's seen, one of the only people I can honestly sit down and go, wow, what a bunch of fucking assholes or whatever. So, yeah, she's one of my best friends in the world.
I love you,
John. Everyone loves Shawcroft. I want to know, let's talk about that, Lynn. You were raised an atheist, right?
Yes, yes.
Tell us about this.
I was going to ask Provenza to do a show, and I got nervous. But because atheism is very in the forefront. Like, I was raised an atheist when I was, 3.5 years old, my mom died. Not trying to brag or anything. My mother died. And.
Yeah. My fucking mom's hanging out still, 68 and hanging
but,
on.
But, like, when I asked my father, probably when I was 4 or 5 years old, I was like, is mommy in heaven? He's like, no. I sound sick there, but like, is mommy in heaven? No. Is mommy in hell? No. And I was like, oh, did you fucking joke? Is she still here? And he didn't create a heaven for me. He was like, well, do you think cabbages go to heaven? I was like, no. And he goes, well, humans are just cabbages that talk. Your mom was just a cabbage that talks. She's dead.
Humans are cabbages that talk.
Yeah.
How long was she in a coma?
She wasn't in a coma. No, it wasn't a coma thing. He was just trying to relate to me, like, do carrots go to heaven? I was like, no.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, your mom was just like a carrot.
That's amazing. So at that age, you knew carrots didn't go to heaven.
Did your father marry a salad?
Yeah. My mother was a tomato. Yeah. No, but like, I'm like,
she's sighting really well.
I didn't realize it was atheism at the time. You know what I mean? Like, dealing with death as a young child and he didn't even decide to bullshit to me at all.
Some have said we shouldn't even have a word atheism.
I don't like it either. It wasn't like he didn't go, I'm an atheist.
It's
and
a
this
negative
is what I
idea.
Think. He was just it's being honest. Idea. He was just like very honest.
Yeah.
Which like, he could have lied a little bit.
Did you ever wish there was a God? Did you ever find yourself
fighting
this?
Well, here's the weird thing. My father was completely atheist, though I didn't know it was at the time. He thought it was ridiculous and stuff. But even on your own, you develop kind of a believing in it through school and through society. And even then, I remember being 11 or 12 and going, God can see me. And I didn't realize at the time my father was completely atheist, and that's what he was teaching me at a very young age.
Right.
Until later, I'm like, you motherfucker.
Right.
Yeah. God, but yeah, he didn't even be like, your mom's in heaven for a second.
I don't believe
he's
in motherfuckers, but that's just me.
Did you find not having that God or any sort of faith in your life, did you find that was like some sort of a problem?
Well, you don't really, you're so young, you're not going, oh, I'm going to school with a Catholic. Well, I didn't know what Jews were until I was a teenager.
But, nobody really
she's Canadian.
No,
don't
know.
Nobody
you know what I mean? Like, you don't think
Canadian.
Of it that way until
nobody
later.
Nobody can still figure out what Jews are.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't think of it that until later, what he was actually saying. I'm like, I grew up with the work cabbages that talk theory. You know, it'll be popular soon.
But you got to school. Weren't kids like, hey, there's a God in the heaven and Jesus? And you were like,
yes,
you're an idiot?
Yeah, you totally see that. And so you adapt it yourself. Like, you think it, but my dad was back home. Like, it's not as defined when you're little. But now I look back and he was completely like, she's dead, she's dirt. Sorry. And like, it wasn't like he wasn't being malicious or anything. He was just
being honest.
Well, yeah. I was raised a homosexual.
Yeah.
And every time I had a boner for a girl, they'd slap it with a ruler and put me in bed with a big burly man.
What that
talent sure. Just that coming out of the closet. I want to fuck your women.
Finally. Stanhope picks this podcast to come out of the closet.
I'm very gay, by the way.
Bingo's going to be furious, or she better have a cock.
She'll have whatever you want her to have.
Cool. Somebody go get Bingo.
Bingo is drunk as shit, but I bet she'd wake up for this. Someone wants to go down to 1841 and knock. All right. I love every time that door opens, it looks like there's more fun going on in the other room. Just this cascade of sound of fun.
Do you talk about religion? You're atheist, I'm assuming, but I've never asked you.
Well, I'm atheist in that way that, I'm agnostic, but that's bullshit. I'm not going to say, there could be a Batman, but I don't know. So I'd rather say atheist.
Well,
there could be a Batman, there couldn't be a Superman.
You think it's possible? No.
You could be right. I'm
a
open to argument.
Supermanist?
What?
You're an A-Supermanist?
No, Superman exists.
The point
is,
you're an A-Batmanist. If you spend too much of your life debating this, you're missing out on life.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. That's, I mean, you get pissed off when people grab a camera and film your show sometimes.
Yeah, because
you think they're missing out on the show.
I feel that, but I also feel I know how fucking awful. I couldn't look at the monitor tonight because it would throw off my show seeing me. So when I see someone filming me, I picture them seeing me like they are not seeing me anyway. And I'm like, oh, that guy's fucking head is awkward. His fucking teeth are askew. I hate the way that guy looks, as though no one ever sees me but me occasionally in a mirror. And like, don't film me. You're going to see me how I really look, the way I can see me.
Poor
guy. Yeah.
Poor guy, his face is on a jumbotron.
Exactly.
No, but I agree. Tonight. I think being filmed is one of the most awkward things on the planet.
If someone came up to you at your fucking job or whatever you're doing and just started filming you, you're just shopping for shoes, and you immediately pose. You're like, look, is it my look? And yet that's what it does to you on stage. I'm like immediately playing to a camera rather than being real. So I fucking hate it. That's number one, and I could go through 9 more other reasons it disturbs me. Filming during a show,
right?
And bootlegging is the last. I don't give a fuck.
No one gives a shit about.
Yeah,
no, it's just that you don't necessarily want that particular night to be the thing that is sent around. The
Do
world.
You look at YouTube?
Well, there's never a particular.
Do you ever
night.
Look at YouTube shit of your own?
No.
Well, you, it would just be you going, "Hey, that guy sucked. Here's the next guy."
Keep it going for another sucker I've talked into fucking up his career.
Kilstein. Just kidding. It won't affect his career.
Oh, he's made more careers.
I like Kilstein. But why do you... You said Kilstein on fucking Conan was the bravest thing you've ever seen.
Yes. Because he did everything that you're not supposed to do on television.
Did he dye his hair
Which
red?
Is...
Regardless of how
he
about
didn't
it.
Breathe.
He brought his girlfriend.
That's brilliant.
What did he do?
This is
prevent?
Nothing I've I've before the fucking viral
I just,
video
I love,
came
I,
out.
I love Jamie, and Jamie and I disagree politically on a lot of stuff. But
I
love the way he works. The way he works is like. There's something like Lord Buckley about it. He gets into this musical stuff, and it's just it's the same way, same reasons I love Reggie Watts. It's just cool. I like what he's doing. I like the pictures he's drawing. And
I've told Kilstein, listen, that one album I have that I'm embarrassed about that I redid as Sicko, my first thing. I was embarrassed about it because I was doing this, just talking as quick as I can and saying things as fast as I can to mask the fact. That I didn't really have jokes. I see myself
in
him.
I agree with all those things,
But that whole, I'm just going to say as many things as fast as I can without having any kind of, if you read anything that he did.
They did the same thing to Lenny Bruce. I mean, you read his shit and it didn't make any sense.
Well,
what are you saying?
That's a different
and Lizzie
time
Borden.
Period.
It's an art form what he's doing.
First of all, Lenny Bruce, putting any comic from any other era into a comedy, it dies quickly on the vine. Comedy has the shortest shelf life of any art form. Guys I thought were the fucking most brilliant comics on earth in the 80s. If you listen to the same shit, you're like,
yeah.
Because comedy builds on itself because there's an element of surprise in it.
Yeah.
And once you've achieved that, I can do the Chinese magic rings. Well, now you have to saw someone in half and then fuck them and then the load comes out of their mouth. And their ass at the
what
same time.
What do you call
time,
an like, act like that?
The point is,
Ching
the aristocrats.
Thanks for going with me on
that. That was the end of the show.
So, yeah, I like Jamie. I don't know. I didn't know that you tattooed his name on Conan, I guess.
Oh, my no, God. No, this
wasn't
guy has
on
been a
Conan
proponent of
his name.
Jamie Kilstein to
he
the point
he just liked
where
it.
It almost is defeatist to Jamie Kilstein. I
Jamie was here last
Kilstein.
Year. Anybody okay. here?
I know, and he was supposed to be here.
Here's the thing about Jamie. I don't know him very well, but I saw
said.
Him. I'm actually love that you love him. You know, like that's a really cool thing. But I saw him this thing doing on Facebook. He's a vegan. Fine. That's amazing. But he had this thing where he was very angry at Virgin Airlines because in first class they didn't have vegetarian choices and they got free food. And I'm like, people are paying more money to be in first class. And he's all mad. He goes, people in first class, they get everything. I'm like, because they paid $1 billion to be there. He thinks I'm a Republican, but I'm not.
Well, he's very young, and he's not
lovely.
He's very young,
and he's getting older.
And
he, just saying,
he's not completely right politically, in my opinion, and he doesn't have it all figured out.
No, nor should he. No,
right.
But
to me, that doesn't fucking matter. I don't give a shit. You know, I like blackface. I it doesn't matter to me what the perspective is. I like good comedy. I like comedy that's performed well.
Well, then whatever I agree. Whatever makes you laugh is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like an amazing thing at this point to see this much comedy and laugh at someone's career.
One of the things.
So the only reason
I brought that up is because we like similar things.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that bothered me about the whole Daniel Tosh thing is when people, like pedestrians, you can accept it from. But when people in that say, well, that's just not funny. People in mainstream media, well, you know what? He thought it was funny, but that's just not funny. Where we all know funny is what you find funny.
Subjective.
Well, you know,
it's such a base root.
This is one of the weird things that I've always said about comedy. It's the only art form where the recipient gets to determine its existence.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is fucking nuts.
Yeah, it wouldn't exist without the reaction
You know, it's just not. I mean, you can listen to a song that's a shit song,
it's
but
Schrodinger's
it's still
joke.
A song. You see, a painting is a shit painting.
Schrodinger's joke. If that's not a fucking punk band name,
right? That's a good name for a band.
We'll be right back with Doug Stanhope and Deconstructing Comedy after this message.
Hi, I'm Doug Stanhope. You know that you can. I'll watch a jack off for like $15 in a cab. My career is ending. Call now. Back to the show.
Damn.
You know, but there's. I think like when people step back and say, "Hey, whatever's funny is funny," and that's true. What's funny is funny. What's not is not. But the thing is, that comedians do sometimes step up and take on a social role. They step up and want to say something that they think is important, and they want everybody to agree with them. And so. Like it's when Jon Stewart comes up and he says, you know what, I'm a comedian. You can't hold me to the shit that I say. I think that's not accurate because he is talking politics.
He's both.
Actually, I think he's a bad example for what you're saying. I know where you're going with that, but I actually think Jon Stewart is a bad example. You know who is a really bad example of this is Michael Moore. Because when he feels like he can have some social activism, he's a journalist. But when he's being busted for being the paper tiger that he is, suddenly he's just a filmmaker, a comic filmmaker, you know? But Jon Stewart, in fact, if you want to have a criticism of Jon Stewart, it's that he doesn't really take a stand.
While we all
know that he's progressive and liberal, for the most part, on his show, he's really just busting everybody's balls. He doesn't take sides for real.
I sometimes try to find bias.
He's actually really always a comedian. Where he's not a comedian is the format of his show, wherein he will take something that's buried on page 15, and all of a sudden it's 5 minutes of great comedy where he's showing video clips of things that would have fallen by the wayside if he didn't bring them up.
Yeah.
And that does give him social relevance, but that's not social relevance that he is specifically taking on. That's what he's doing comedically.
But is he going to go against his vibe and his social leaning in order just to make a joke?
No, I don't believe so.
I'm not sure that's true.
I'm not saying that he will defy what he believes necessarily, but he'll bust right wing, left wing. He'll find bullshit.
Yeah, he busts both sides.
That's true. Absolutely.
You
know,
he goes after Obama all the time.
And he is on network
but
television.
He might just be racist.
Right.
The whole time you were deconstructing Jon Stewart, I was wondering if that thick girl behind that guy wanted to fight me.
Casey, are you wanting to fight Doug Stanhope?
I mean, would you like
for calling?
No,
him
no. He's asking if
for
will.
Pink slips.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree with you, Provenza, about Stuart. Yeah.
Is that because of his rape comments?
Casey's into I have a feeling Casey's into the rape fantasy thing.
God love her.
Let's face it, rape is not a fantasy.
Most women have. Yeah. What? Who said that?
Oh, yeah, the rape fantasy thing.
This podcast.
Here's a weird thing.
Same podcast last year.
Yeah.
We had this all right.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Most women have fucking.
I know, and you know the number one reason I haven't brought that up. Louis C.K. is the fucking golden boy of comedy and did a great bit about that once. And I have a fucking great story about a chick with a rape fantasy, Christina Sperolini from Minneapolis. Sorry, did I name drop you? And she had, when I was a young man, it was one of my first loves that was fucking unrequited. And she's like, oh, just rape me. The only time I fucked her, and I couldn't. I didn't have the body strength to hold her down. She kept throwing me off. Like, I suck at rape. Like, and it was like a story I always had. And then Louis did a bit.
He did that bit is so great where the girl's like, rape me. And then later like, oh, so I should have raped you on the off chance that 1% that was your fucking fantasy. Yeah, excellent.
Well, it's a pain in the ass. I have a girlfriend who's like, you have a key, pick a time, come in, and I want you to rape me.
I never said that.
Not you. It's another girlfriend.
It was me.
And
right. It was, well, then it isn't really rape. The fantasy, like, that
well,
isn't rape.
Well, that's why the
when,
surprise
like,
element is key.
Well, yeah. That's
it
but
has,
no,
it
no,
has
no, no,
when
no,
it's
no,
a
no,
girlfriend.
When it's a
girlfriend.
She said to do this, and I knew that the only way
girl,
I could
fucking,
pull it off right
no.
is to get a partner, because I,
yes,
I don't, I,
yeah, you have to
I can't
exactly.
take her.
You're just not rape worthy.
And it turned out I was busy that afternoon, so I got somebody to fill in for me.
Isn't that guy with the long hair and the beard, isn't that your lookout? That's your partner?
John Rael, ladies and gentlemen.
I met this girl. I met this girl online, and she had a rape fantasy. We were going to meet in New York City. We were going to meet at MoMA, and I was supposed to rape her at MoMA, which is the Museum of Modern Art. And,
you're
going to
rape
so
her in a public place?
We're planning that I'm going to rape her, right?
I
so
Craig's
I go list. And I go shopping, but she says she likes Jeff de Bruges, which is kind of chocolate that only comes in Belgium but won't go to the United States, so it had to be mailed to Spain and then sent to me at $100 fucking dollars. So, but I'm going to rape her, so I'm going to pay the $100 for the chocolate, right? So I show up at the MoMA, and I have gone to this place in downtown New York City where I can buy all these sex toys. And what I buy is a remote controlled clit vibrator.
That's it for the free hour. We will be making the full 90-minute show available to our premium subscribers later tonight. I want to thank my guests, Eric Schwartz, Gary Stockdale, Paul Provenza, Lynn Shawcroft, and Doug Stanhope. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson and Dissident Radio. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
How do I know? We're taping at TAM.
And we'll be talking about...
TAM stuff. Duh.
This has been the free version of episode 75. If you would like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe for a measly $10 a year. I am your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, JR, so far away, Swam, and our digital publicist, Cameron, sitting right here, Winters.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.